with moral
majority, a national,
to a number of ministers of various communions, that the moral issues, most of them that are important, have now become very volatile political issues. And that because we most certainly do believe in the separation of church and state, and because we do not wish to violate that principle, it is necessary for us then to create an organization that is totally non-religious, totally political, and structured in a way that we can legally and constitutionally redress our grievances as private citizens, not as spokesmen for our congregations or religious movements. It took several years because we were talking with leaders of various religious movements on where can we agree. I'm a fundamentalist, you are a Mormon, you are a conservative Jew, you are a conservative Catholic, you are a Presbyterian, a Methodist, or you're not religious at all, but you agree with us on some things. What are the boundaries, the parameters in which we can agree, and then let's draw the line and agree never to proliferate, but to spend all of our energies working together, coalescing to accomplish what we believe, in our opinions, needs to be done in this country. And so after about 5 years of such discussions, we finally arrived at what I believe to be the platform that must be our restricted platform personally, permanently, and that is, number one, a pro-life commitment. The priority of moral majority without embarrassment. The priority of moral majority without embarrassment is a commitment to become the defenders of and the voices for 1.5 million defenseless unborn babies each year that are aborted in this country. We are, all of us in moral majority, not approaching that from a religious or theological perspective. That is where I come from. We have many who come at that conclusion from a medical perspective. That is unimportant to us as long as we arrive at the same conclusion that the biological holocaust must stop. Our second tenet is we are pro-traditional family, and we define the family as beginning when a man legally marries a woman. We are unwilling to accept common law marriage, homosexual marriage, diverse family forms as acceptable family form in the consensus of the American public. We therefore found a great agreement there among Mormons who are strong pro-family advocates, traditional monogamous pro-family advocates. We found that also among Roman Catholics, Protestants, Jews. In the early days of our movement, we were called Nazis and fascists until they found we had 3,000 Jewish rabbis involved. And then we were racist until they found we had 8,000 Baptist black pastors, not all Baptists, but black pastors involved. And now we're just radical because we are committed to a human life amendment in this decade and committed to reinforcing and strengthening the traditional family in this country, which, by the way, is at a 40% divorce rate at this moment. Our third tenet, frankly, is this. We are pro-moral, which gives us an umbrella to attack the illegal drug traffic in this country. I said this a while ago on Channel 2, that I think the leading criminals in America, the worst of the worst, are those major distributors, not the street peddlers, but the major distributors of drugs in this country who are murdering and destroying our children on the installment plan. We must address that from the grassroots level, educationally and legislatively. Under the same umbrella of pro-moral, we address pornography. And we have had no problem defining it, unlike the Supreme Court. We feel that nudity and overt sex acts and that kind of indecency, that kind of vulgarity is pornography, and we are addressing that through a moral majority. We'll come back in a few moments to some ways in which we're addressing it. And finally, we are pro-American. And under that umbrella, we unashamedly believe in strong national defense as the best deterrent to war, believing in peace and favoring peace and believing that the Soviets do not have good intentions, in spite of Dr. Coffin's opinion, that we are committed to strong national defense to prevent our children or our children's children ever blaming us for not taking the necessary stand to deliver to them the same America we have known. We're not warmongers. We hate war. But we do believe that strength is the only language the Soviets understand. And under that same pro-American position, we take a very strong, positive pro-position on the state of Israel and Jewish people everywhere. A few moments ago, on the Donahue show, I stated that I categorically oppose the deal with the Saudis. And I feel that if America does not stand by Israel, our best friends, my opinion, our only friends in the Middle East, that for theological, historical, and legal reasons, we shall pay an eternal price for it. And so that is, in a very succinct fashion, that is what moral majority is. If we were to begin addressing the tax structure or Kemp Roth or Panama Canal, as we have been allegedly positioning ourselves on, or if we were to get into various policies of the government, we would immediately lose segments of moral majority. We now have 72,000 priests, rabbis, ministers from all various communions. Among the 4 million active Americans, many of whom would say we are not religious at all. When the press reports that moral majority is an evangelical movement or a fundamentalist movement, that causes a lot of our people to flinch, because many of them in moral majority who share our views that I've just discussed with you are not in any way churched persons or evangelicals, and therefore object to that label. We are simply and clearly an organization of Americans who love this country, who agree on shared moral values, who are conservative in that approach, who are a special interest group in that sense, who are trying to, by various means, to bring to the attention of the American public another point of view. We are, for the first time, and I'm happy to say this, we are in possession of hundreds of men and women who are able to articulate intelligently the issues. There was a time when everyone on this side, and that's been during the past 30 years, who addressed abortion was portrayed and caricatured as some idiot or radical, and it was always classified as a Catholic issue. And to the credit of the Roman Catholic Church, who has stood alone in that issue for these years, I'm glad to announce that millions of other Americans, including fundamentalists, have joined alongside with them to hopefully, cooperatively, do what one single group has not been able to do. And I don't think anyone in the movement has an ulterior motive. I believe that everyone, at least the ones I have met in the pro-life movement, many of whom are not involved in moral majority, are not out to deny rights to women. We certainly are not trying to do that. But we believe, I from a theological perspective, that life begins at fertilization. I would disagree with my Catholic friends on birth control. But at the same time, we would agree that from fertilization on, a human life exists. And that human life is as precious to God as that three-month-old baby that is toddling or crawling around the room. And we then have, since we believe that, we would be worse than hypocrites if we did not do everything in our power to stop what has resulted since 1973 in the, in my opinion, the murder of 8 million defenseless babies. When I said theologically, and I'm going back over some of the points now for enlargement, Psalm 139, David said, "When I was formed in the conjugal act, the secret act, the sex act, while my parts were yet not yet formed, while the fetus was not discernible, while the fingers and the toes were not there, when I was just a piece of life, God wrote my name down in his book." And then in Jeremiah 1:5, the prophet said, While I was yet in my mother's womb, God ordained me a prophet to the nations. When Mary, the mother of our Lord, approached her cousin Elizabeth in Luke 1, when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, it was Elizabeth who said, Mary, when I heard the voice of my Lord's mother, the babe, not the fetus, the babe leaped in my womb. And so I come at it from those and many other passages which theologically will not allow me to accept any other fact than that we are dealing with human life, and it is not freedom of choice. It is a matter of accepting the fact, as I see it, that we are trafficking in human lives and human rights. And the Supreme Court decision to me was just a rerun of the Dred Scott decision that termed black people as chattel, property, and not humans. It was a ruling by human beings who later, another human being court reversed that decision. And I think that that must somehow be reversed again, because these little ones are not chattel and property. They are human beings for whom Christ died and who are very, very important to our Lord and should be to us. When we talk about the traditional family and the 40% divorce rate, we're talking about a lot of things that, as I see it, must be done to strengthen the family in this country. We need in every segment of society, in our schools, to honor the husband-wife relationship and to hold it up, as Gallup has termed it through a 93% finding, that is the acceptable family form by that many Americans, to hold it up to our young people as the family style in this country. I was asked in Washington by a network reporter who was a little hostile on that issue, what right do you Baptists have to jam down our throats the concept of the monogamous husband-wife family? And my reply was, and I'm shocked that you think the Baptists started the family. As a matter of fact, in the book of Genesis, it was God who started the family, and at that time, he wasn't a Baptist. And I said, by the way, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I feel that God has clearly defined the family for all time as a picture of the relationship that Christ desires with his church. When you look at our society, apart from the families and the family strength through the past 200 years, you see very little else that's of value and importance. And we cannot allow sociologists, educators, anyone to demean or cause this nation to digress from revering that most sacred unit in any civilized society, the traditional monogamous family. I looked on the White House conference on families last year with a great deal of suspicion. And I am very committed to, in Congress and every state house, honoring and paying tribute to every emphasis that reinforces the home. We are, likewise, when we talk about pornography, not advocates of censorship. We do believe that there are some limits to what can be said and what can be written. We don't think that anyone in this room has the right to yell fire when in fact there is none. And we don't think that's an abridgment of your First Amendment rights to ask for that kind of responsibility. We think that pornographers, very frankly, are poisoning the human spirit in this country. I again am speaking for myself and I think a few million Americans when I say that all three television networks are acting irresponsibly today in seeing how far they can go before the nation is up in arms. I hope that what is being done today with 300 organizations in a Coalition for Better TV, and Moral Majority is just one of them, many are civic groups, many are religious groups, many are not. I'm hopeful that what is being done right now, and that is the monitoring, the 3-month period of monitoring, March, April, May, by thousands of Americans of various clientele to determine not as what is moral and what is nice for Baptists or Catholics, but what is constructive and non-constructive, edifying, non-edifying, obnoxious, acceptable to the general rank and file of the country. And at that time, in June, we plan to talk privately and without fanfare or advertisement to the corporation heads, of the 110 major corporations now spending most of the dollars for prime time and afternoon programming. Many of them may not even be aware of the fact that their dollars are being spent in obnoxious programming. All we're asking is that they instruct the three president of the three networks to begin moving back towards some semblance of moral sanity. And we're not talking about Ozzie and Harriet and All in the Family, not All in the Family. Father Knows Best. We are talking about All in the Family. We're not talking about going all the way back to the early days of television, but we are talking about we don't need any bedroom scenes on television. We don't need four-letter words. There was a time when Mom and Dad and the kids could sit down for a night of television, and Mom and Dad could go to the supermarket without turning the television set off. You can't do that anymore if you care about your children. And it isn't a question of turning to the other network. Which one? And it isn't a question of whether we should have to turn to the other network or turn the knob off, because those are public airwaves, not owned by the networks or the sponsors or the FCC, but by you and me, the people. We have a right to expect that what comes into our homes over public airwaves is carefully and responsibly monitored so that it is not offensive to the rank and file of this country. And if that is done, and if the sponsors act effectively, there would never be a boycott, because since the networks have not been responsive, then hopefully the sponsors will be. Admittedly, we do have 5 million people in the coalition now who are committed to boycott a company and its 35 or whatever products during a period of time until that company was willing to give instructions to the network as to where its dollars can and should be spent. But we feel that that is not censorship any more than unionists who choose not to buy products that are made by non-union labor, or the feminist decision not to have conventions in states that have not ratified ERA. We think it is a proper, free enterprise, non-censorship approach to effect some kind of responsible direction or redirecting of the television industry. If we knew that right now the television networks were going to stop where they are and never get any worse, we still have an objectionable situation. But it's very obvious that is not the plan. The plan is to keep going down, down, down until all the networks are dumping a cesspool into our living rooms, and viewership, which is going down every year now, in my opinion, for people who really care, our televisions would then become useless. I think that's the kind of pornography we need to deal with. If someone wants dirt in their home, HBO is available. You can buy it. You can have it cabled in. You can go down to the theater and watch it. But I don't think that all the homes should be susceptible to what a few writers and some executives and offices in New York have decided everybody's going to like, and it's going to become the norm in this country. I don't think it has become the norm. I don't think it's ever going to become the norm to applaud what has been reprehensible for us for 200 years. The family, moral values for young people, all these things are very important. And the fact that we have to debate this issue is alarming. The fact that we have to debate this kind of thing, I don't think 20 years ago we would have debated it. I think it was very clear that 20 years ago no one could use a four-letter word for fornication on Saturday Night Live. Admittedly, when we raised the devil, they fired him. But the atmosphere that made him feel the liberty to say that is what we're talking about. And the fact is, he did feel the liberty to say that, and the fact is that that invaded millions of homes, and I think it is just that, an invasion of our privacy and our civil rights. So Moral Majority is approaching that very much so. We're not for censorship. I want to say this carefully, if I had, as an individual, the authority to eliminate Playboy, Penthouse, We, and all that ilk from existence, I wouldn't exercise that, because no one person should have that kind of power. And who might the censor be 5 years from now who decides that Roman Catholics shouldn't be on television, or Jews or Baptists shouldn't be on? We're not willing for that. But I do think that we all need to exercise some sensible responsibility in approaching what is unacceptable to the people. Someone said the other day, well, there are a lot of people watching it. That's right. And you can go down to any high school in Chicago and begin hustling heroin free, and you'll have a good audience there in a matter of weeks. That doesn't mean it's good, but it means it's very possible to help people down instead of up. It's very easy to do that. I think that media leadership, as well as ministry leadership, we're all supposed to be obligated, because we are given a great deal of authority and influence, we should be helping people up, not down. And we should not be presenting life the way it is in some microcosm instances, but we should be presenting life the way it ought to be, according to the traditional values that for 200 years have characterized America, in my opinion, still the greatest nation on earth. Our people are not radicals. They're businessmen and women. They're scientists. They're white-collar and blue-collar people. They're from every walk of life who have just decided to get involved. We have registered about 4 million voters since we've been in existence. And we are very actively registering and getting into involvement people who have been frustrated, uninvolved, not willing to get involved, thinking, I cannot make a difference. We have reactivated many registered voters who had not voted for years. More than that, we're doing our very best to get people excited about America again. And within the two-party system, may I repeat that, Moral Majority is not, nor ever will be, a political party. We are committed to work within the two-party system, and we are doing our dead-level best to get our people into mass meetings, into the conventions, into delegate roles, into contributing to the rebuilding of the country, not just cursing the darkness. We're trying to be, as best we can, spokesmen of hope, not prophets of doom. But we are trying to identify the problem, and that does create discomfort for some. It's very difficult to turn around once you've gone down the wrong road and come back to the crossroads. I think America does have some of that to do. I do happen to thank God for the president we now have, and I particularly appreciate the courage of his convictions that he's shown in his first 3 months in office. I believe he's going to be a president who is his own man. And I may I say to you that I haven't talked to the president since he was elected, nor he to me. We have prayed for him, and anything we can do to help, he knows we're available. But I want to say to you that Moral Majority did not elect Ronald Reagan. An 8.5 million plus majority, plurality, voted for Mr. Reagan. And he is therefore not obligated to Moral Majority or any other special interest group. He's his own man. And I think he's behaving that way. And I hope that the next 4 years, God keeping him alive, he'll continue to behave that way and do some very dramatic and almost radical things to help this great country of ours turn around and once more become the great nation she has been in the past. Thank you.
We're going to have some questions from the floor, and we're going to start as we see the hands being raised now. There's one right over there. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I will. The question was, have I agreed to moral issues like abortion going on the back burner while the budget takes front center stage? Many of you may have seen Face the Nation Sunday. And in that program, either Lem Tucker or Lou Cannon, I've forgotten who, asked the question, have we agreed with Senator Baker and the president to pull back on our issues? And the word back burner was his choice. What I said was this, that I'm willing, and we're all willing, to be reasonable. We don't want to fight on four fronts at one time and lose all of them. We certainly realize that economically the country has got to be healed hurriedly, and I support even more cuts than the president recommended, but I'm out supporting him, and I hope next year he goes deeper. And the churches fill in the vacuum where social programs are going to be absent. And we volunteered our church, as we have been in the past, $2 million this year in that area, to be one of those churches. Right now, I said, and there is a human life bill in the Congress at this very moment, Helms, Dornan, and if it passes, it will determine the fetus to be a living person. There's a lot of questions whether that will stand up in the court. I think it will pass a majority vote in the Congress. That is happening simultaneous. But as far as our demanding, and this is my position, demanding that all and total attention be given to our agenda, to the exclusion or the damaging of the economic budget, I think that would be unreasonable on our part. And I think if we expect the president to stick his neck out for us, we've got to be willing to cooperate with him. And we've all sat down in our area and agreed to do that.
Okay, Church Federation.
Let me say that. In the second place, I asked Dr. Dixon that on the phone 2 days ago, and he said he did not say that. There was a person in Santa Clara, California, who identified himself as a moral majority representative. This was about 2 or 3 months ago. And he has never been a part of moral majority, who recommended capital punishment for homosexuality. We immediately repudiated that. It is not only ridiculous and inhumane, it is absolutely unacceptable to any civilized people in the world. And obviously, moral majority, while we look on homosexuality as moral perversion, as we do promiscuous heterosexuality, we very much love, and as a pastor, we have 62 associate pastors, minister on a regular basis to the homosexual community.
All right, are there questions?
Feel that pornography is demeaning and very damaging to the moral values of young people who develop a lack of appreciation for marital experience, and therefore premarital sex is looked on just as another relationship, not as immorality. And the reason I take such a strong stand against abortion is because I believe the responsibility needs to be this side of the sex act, not on the other side. And we need a media, we need a publishing industry, we need educators and pastors and politicians who are supporting family and traditional moral values that tell young people what is wrong with it, not how to go ahead and do it and kill the consequences. And I disagree with you. I personally think that sex and violence on TV do affect behavior. Well, you need to quote the particular survey and who conducted it and how many were involved, because I cannot believe that educated psychiatrists could ever find that television programming of violence and sex have absolutely no effect upon the viewers. I don't believe that for a moment.
Kathy Bertini of the Container Corporation.
Thank you. This is a Kathy Bertini question, not a container question.
Politician. And promiscuous heterosexuality as well.
Good, I'll use both examples. Okay. How do you feel then and justify people, especially who are public officials, who are morally perverse in that they are caught in or admit to homosexual acts, like Congressman Bauman and former Congressman Bauman.
Henson.
And heterosexual acts outside of the marriage act. But yet vote for all of the moral majority issues. How do you justify
all right.
that? And what is your personal view about whether or not those people should be reelected, since their personal
all right.
You've got
fine.
10 seconds.
First of all, I did not call for Mr. Kennedy's resignation after Chappaquiddick, or Mr. Bauman's after his Maryland incident, or Mr. Henson or Heinsohn, however he pronounces it. I've never met any of those three gentlemen. Voting records and personal behavior are two separate things. I would wish that everyone in public life lived exemplary lives, because it is a fact that young people are going to emulate the lives of the leadership. There's no question about that. And so I think that we must leave then the burden of that upon the voters, and I would hope that somehow the voters in every district would be responsible enough to take care of that at election time. For pastors, every time someone commits an immoral act, to condemn that person is contrary to the role of a pastor. I was asked to participate in a press conference shortly after Bauman's exposure down there. I refused to go. I said, I'll pray for him, but it would appear to me that he and his family have already been damaged greatly, and I will leave it to the Lord to take care of his misbehavior and the voters, and they did. But I have prayed for him, and if he asked for counseling, I would offer it to him. Abscam would fit into that same thing and all the rest. I personally think that it's a disgrace that elected officials do not feel that the same responsibility that pastors do, and not all pastors do, I'm afraid to say, to live an exemplary life before the constituency so that we can not only say, do as I say, but do as I do. Well, since we don't endorse any candidates, we have no problem with that whatsoever. Thank you.
A lady has a third follow-up question, and because she's on the board of the City Club of Chicago, and is one of my bosses, I will have her ask it.
She's the boss. I'll take the third one. Okay. What is the third question? All right. A misbehaving candidate who votes conservatively on the moral issues. A well-behaving candidate who votes in opposition to the moral position as we see it, I'd probably stay home election day.
Yes, sir. Right there.
Well, not in detail. I generally know what it is, and I happen to know that it's bogged down at the present moment. Well, right now, at the present moment, at tax time, it is more favorable to be living together unmarried than married. And the murder of defenseless babies is another thing. I'm not speaking for moral majority now, because many moral majority members would disagree with me. I personally don't think that gun control would have gotten Mr. Hinckley's gun. I don't think it would have gotten the mafia's guns. I don't think it would get the guns of the criminals. And I personally feel there's a constitutional right, as does our president, for citizens to bear arms. I am not armed. And I would hope that I never, in any situation, ever have to defend my family against anyone. But if in my home someone were coming through the window to hurt my wife and three teenage children, I would do whatever I had to do to defend them. I don't look on that in the same way as I do the taking of defenseless lives under the guise of abortion. I think it's a terrible thing, and I think that as long as there are human beings on this earth, we're going to have those kinds of problems. I think the real problem is not gun control. It is the failure in our courts the last 20 years to deal with criminals harshly and quickly. I think that's the real problem.
The chair recognizes Father Charles Fiore, who was a great assistance in enabling us to get Reverend Falwell here as a speaker. Father Fiore, chairman of the National Pro-Life Pact.
Thanks for the commercial, Tom. Brother Jerry, we know that you believe in separation of church and state, yet I dare say that the perception of a great many people in America today, and perhaps even after your talk of a great many people in this room, is that...
than what Dr. Martin Luther King did 20 years ago in the Civil Rights Movement, the Berrigan brothers, Dr. Coffin at Yale, I would think it's far less infringement, and... The real complaints we get usually on that so-called blurring and merging of that principle comes from liberal clergymen who have been out there doing it for 35 years, but who are a little disturbed that we're out there now and we outnumber them.
We're going to have one more question. We're going to have one more question, and then the press is going to come down and interview Reverend Falwell, and you're invited to shake hands with him. I'm going to recognize that gentleman there standing up. Yes, sir.
Well, I think it's very clear that the executives of all three major networks, rather than reacting responsibly to the coalition and to what even Advertising Age magazine is saying, what the sponsors are saying to them, they're acting very irrationally. All three of the presidents went down to Boca Raton last week and spoke to the American Association of Advertising Agencies.
They're conspiring,
berating this coalition. I can only assume that when they're getting together and their speeches are identical, that and they're defending what they're doing, that obviously they must have put the plan together if they are defending it.
What is the plan and what's the motivation?
I think the plan is that television will become as uncensored as the movie screen is, and I object to that.
Okay, and you said that it would be perfectly all right if people went to the cable shows that came into their homes or went to the theater.
I didn't say it was perfectly all right. I oppose pornography in any form, but the same rules don't apply. That when a person buys cable and brings it into his home and pays for it, that cannot be called a public airwave. He has purchased that for himself. I have difficulty in telling him he can't watch what he's paid for.
But as more and more of this continues and more people are watching and children are watching and all that, what is your position going to be?
I hope the district attorneys in every town will determine what the community standard is as the court, the Supreme Court, has allowed them to do by ruling several years ago. And then that from a legal perspective, the DAs will do what has now happened in Atlanta. Every adult bookstore is now closed in Atlanta by the efforts of the DA there. The same thing is happening in Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and Asheville in progress now. I would hope that district attorneys would move in on community standard violations and take care of that. My role and the role of Moral Majority steers clear of censorship. We are trying to address what we know is open game to us, and that is the open airwaves and the violation of the civil rights of the American people.
Why would the heads of the three networks be conspiring? You talked about them plotting and planning, but what is the motive?
I have no idea what they're up to. They haven't talked to me. They talk about me. They haven't talked to me.
What is your speculation?
I have no idea, because I think that the drop in viewership is an indication that the American people are tired of the garbage that's coming out. I think that coming back to more creative and responsible programming would bring viewership up, and they could sell their spots for more money. I personally think that this has become now an ego thing, and that it's a pride matter of saying, hey, we made a mistake. I think it's a sign of greatness if they could say, hey, we've gone too far and we'll pull back. I think we'd all applaud them. But I think now they feel that if we acknowledge we have gone too far, it's an acknowledgement of error, and apparently they don't want to do that.
It's announced today that Tony Randall is going to be in a new series where he plays a homosexual artist who is raising a child which is born out of wedlock to a...
Sounds very religious. We already commented on it, and his comment back to us was, screw them. So that's all we can...
Do you have any rejoinder to that?
My rejoinder is that we're not going to let that happen. We do plan to watch the program, monitor it. If it in fact is offensive, and it sounds like it's going to be, we'll be talking to the sponsors who are paying for that on the air and asking them to be responsible about it.
Do you see this in biblical terms as a temptation?
What is a temptation?
Well, I mean, you said pornography, like heroin, helps people go down as opposed to raise them up.
Mm-hmm.
Are they trying, you think, to bring the country down?
Oh, I'm not blaming the networks for trying to bring people down. They're trying, like all the other industries in this country, to make money. But I think there comes a time when the almighty dollar is not the priority. I think that the welfare of the public has to come somewhere a notch or two ahead of all those considerations.
Reverend, you say that you are not a religious group, yet your arguments against abortion and pornography that you gave us today were all religious arguments.
Yes, because I said that is where I come from. Many members of Moral Majority come from different directions and arrive at the same conclusion. I'm saying I don't care where you come from. As long as we agree together on the thing, let's fight it out together, and that is what's happening.
Can you offer arguments for people who have not joined your group and are not religious?
Well, I think you could talk to Bernard Nathanson, who is an atheist. He's a Jew, but he's an atheist. And who was, he said in his words, presiding over 60,000 deaths a year in a New York clinic as a physician until he woke up in the night with bloody hands, and his book, Aborting America, is pretty well an indictment against the whole industry. I think he would probably be one who could best inform you if you'd wish to hear from that side.
There was a question asked you that I didn't quite get the answer to. I'm not sure there was any.
Men who through the years have categorically allowed us to lose territory after territory of our friends, and I speak of places like Nicaragua, where we actually funded the Sandinistas, who turned out to be Marxist. in areas all over the world, for that matter. Either we have very uninformed members of the State Department, or they're not uninformed, and that bothers me more.
Well, let's not talk about the State Department. Let's talk about citizen opposition to increased defense spending. Is that a treasonable
action? Of course not. Of course not. I think that people can disagree on abortion and not be immoral also. As a matter of fact, most of the debates I have on the abortion issue are with clergymen. So obviously, we're not talking about morality, immorality. We're talking about a principle on which we differ in opinions, but each of us has the right to the public feel that it is in the best interest of America to support the State of Israel totally and entirely, period. I do not mean that we should be anti-Arab. I don't believe that at all. But when the Arab nations are committed openly to the extinction of the State of Israel, I think we present a very paradoxical problem, saying we're friends of the Jews and are giving the military capability, defensively and offensively, to those people who may one day use it on Israel. Now, the answer is that some are giving is that we'll protect them from Russia. Then, if that's the case, why won't we put military installation there with American men, manpower, controlled by us to determine that, in fact, this is to defend our oil supply from the Russians, and not, in fact, one day to turn the gun upon the State of Israel?
So you would rather see an American...